Well, today I'm going to start out with a scripture. You don't even get a story this morning to begin with. So if you'll look at the screen, Matthew 26, 27, and 28 is on there, and it says this: "Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin.'" You've heard that scripture a lot, and you think, well, we're getting ready to have communion. Well, no, not today. We won't, but this is important about the blood of Christ. That's the subject this morning, that you know and I know, and we can sing the old song, "There's power in the blood of Christ." And that's very true. There is. We're saved by that today, and we're living in that. Here at this scripture, Jesus has gathered his disciples together, and he's going to give some instruction for what's happening here at the Last Supper. And he holds the cup up, and he starts talking a little bit about this blood in the covenant, and that his blood is sufficient for the forgiveness of sin. So you'll see that on the screen there. His blood is sufficient. We talk about a lot of things this day and time. The technology is great in so many ways. The things change through time. And some of you folks that are 90 in your upper 80s, you've seen so much change in life and how things are done. But this subject right here, the blood of Christ, his blood is sufficient. It always has been, and it always will be throughout time. No matter the political party in charge, no matter what the world is up to and what the newest fad is, the blood of Jesus is still true, and it saves people from their sin today. So he was talking to them about fulfilling the law here. And Matthew 5:17 on the screen: "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So he's trying to explain, listen, I've come not to abolish the law and the prophets here. I'm coming as a fulfillment of that. And we know that story because of the time that we live in. One selfless act, one act of love, took care of what could not be taken care of for thousands of years. This sacrifice for sin. How are we going to get it done? And when Jesus died and shed his blood, we know we can trust in him and his blood. For what? For redemption. To be saved. For what? The atonement for our sin. He took care of it in his blood. Healing, protection, all these things we desire. Deliverance, strength for the time and the day. And to be transformed, to be changed, to be a new person in the image of Christ. You know the old song, there's wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen? You know that? I'm sure you do. All sorts of denominations are doing crazy things this day and time. And you know, we read of different things that different groups are doing, and that'll be up to them. We've got enough issues of our own, but to say to a group of people, we're going to take all the references in the hymnal that has the blood of Christ, we're going to take that out because it offends people today. And if we take the blood of Christ out anytime it's mentioned in the hymnal because it offends somebody, what do we have? We need to talk about the blood of Christ. We need to know that's where the power is. That's where the salvation comes from. So anyway, the next slide says his blood has the power to redeem. The blood of Jesus has the power to redeem. And that's where it's at. So we've got to talk about it. You know the old song too, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child forever I am. That's a good one too. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So again, through the blood of Christ, we're redeemed through that curse of the law. You know, the law was hard. It was a lot to keep up with. And no one could be pure enough. No one could be good enough. No one could be holy enough to obey the entire law. So what happens? It held people in bondage because they couldn't uplift it. But now the blood of Jesus comes along, and we know the Easter story, his death and resurrection, and now he frees us from that sin. Look on the screens at Romans 8, 15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. You've got a spirit not of fear, but of freedom through the blood of Jesus Christ. So the law had no completion. It just kept going and going and going. And today you have to sacrifice a lamb. Tomorrow, sacrifice a dove. The next week, you'd sacrifice a goat or a bull. And it just goes on and on and on and on. This trying to pay or cover the sin of the nation of Israel. And the priest had to enter in the Holy of Holies once a year to sprinkle blood on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant and atone for the sin of the nation of Israel. And that went on and it went on and it went on. And something had to be done. 1 Peter 1:18-19 says, For you know that it is not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the what? With the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Jesus came, he died, he was the spotless Lamb of God. He is the one who takes away the sins of the world, no matter what people say in a certain age group or in a certain culture or in the world we live in 2017, the blood of Jesus is still what saves us from sin. So Jesus cried out. Here he is, you know the story, on the cross. And when he said, it is finished, I'm here to tell you it was finished. The veil tore from the top to the bottom, and we can have a relationship with God Almighty through Jesus Christ the Lord at that moment. And we ought to rejoice and thank God for it this day. Hebrews 10:16-19 on the screen says, This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, Their sin and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we thank him for it. We praise him for it. And I'm glad today that the blood of Christ is sufficient to save me and save you from sin. The next slide says his blood has the power to transform. Have you been transformed? Have you been changed? Have you been redeemed? Have you been saved? Have you come into a new relationship with Jesus? We can phrase it a lot of ways. But have you been redeemed? That's the question. I pray that you have. If you've not, today is a good day. The blood of Christ has the power to transform. Not just give you the cold shivers, not just have a little high moment during a song, but the power to transform your entire life. Amen? You've been transformed. Many, you know, this is what I was before I met Jesus and his blood was applied to me. This is who I am now. Saved, redeemed, transformed, changed, a new creature in Christ Jesus. So it's so important that we understand that his blood has the power to transform. You know it. You've seen it in yourself and other people. The chiefest, the vilest of sinners can be changed. You still believe that? About half of you? You still believe it? I believe it. The worst of the worst can be changed if they'll turn to Jesus Christ and his saving power here. Well, how do you know that? Well, I've seen it with my own eyes. I've experienced it in my own self. And I read in Scripture about a guy named Saul. And you know his story too. He was a guy who was killing Christians, who was destroying, trying to destroy the church. He was trying to come against everything that God had stood for. And guess what? He had an encounter, didn't he? He saw a bright light, and you know, it's a blinding light, and he experienced the blood of Jesus Christ. And from Saul, he turned into Paul, and he's an apostle, and we read much of what he had to say and what he wrote today. All right, that's transformed, that's changed. Okay, you get to the cross, and here's this thief on the cross. And he says something to Jesus like, remember me today or something, you know, I'm a bad guy. The other guy didn't want to hear nothing about it, and I know that's a loose paraphrase. But then he said, I need some help, Jesus. He took Jesus up on what he was offering. And he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. That's a changed person. I mean, when we ask, the blood has the power to transform us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Look with me at Isaiah on the screen, 1:18. Now come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they're as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. So again, the power of the Lord. The next slide says His blood has the power to give life. To give life. Are you living? You say, well, I think so. I'll pinch myself. I'll smack myself in the face. You know you're living. You know your heart's beating. You know that blood is circulating through your body and you're alive. You know that physically. His blood has the power to give life. Without blood flowing through our bodies, we just simply wouldn't be here. Without the blood of Christ applied to our soul and our spirit, we're bound for a second death. And we don't want that to happen. And Jesus says, listen, I've come to give you life and it more abundantly through the power and of the blood of Jesus. John 10:10 on the screen says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Or some versions have it more abundantly. That's why Jesus came for us. The blood has the power to heal and to protect. You see that on the screen there. To what? Heal and protect. So here comes the enemy of your soul, and he is real. He's the devil. He rises up against the children of God, tries to defeat us, tries to discourage us, and he'll do it any way that he can. It, you know, sometimes we think, I've got this area of life handled, and then the devil shows up, and we realize maybe it's not handled as well as we thought it was. He'll come and try anything that he can to discourage us. But the blood of Jesus Christ can heal, and it can protect, and it's like a shield for us. There's wonder-working power, huh? In the blood of Jesus, the old song says. Wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. You know, if you get a little cut on your hand or your leg or whatever, the body does a wonderful thing. It makes a scab there to protect you from infection and all that kind of stuff. And when your body does that, it protects you. Many times we suffer all kinds of little cuts in our spirit. You have, and you probably will some more. Some of them come from yourself. You just kind of disappoint yourself. You fail or what have you, and your spirit gets a little cut on it, if you will. Many times it's a word that somebody said to you that you loved and you trusted, and it's kind of just like putting a knife in your heart and twisting it a little bit, and you become discouraged, and the devil comes knocking on the door through that. Sometimes it might be ourselves and some selfish act or what have you that we do to ourselves. Or the devil may come and attack and get us to doubt the goodness of God or what have you. The many, many, many ways. But the blood of Christ has the power to help us in all those situations. The blood of Christ. We cannot forget the blood of Christ. You say, well, I know it. Easter's coming and you must be getting wound up for that. And you're thinking about it early, and maybe so. But we go through life and we go through work and we go through raising the kids and the grandkids and the whatever kids and the job and life. And listen, we wonder, why is this happening? And why is this happening over here in this area of life? We've got to stop and we've got to slow down enough to realize, can I pray for you? Mark's talking about here. That's what friends do. Can I pray for you? That's what brothers and sisters do. That's intercessory prayer, pleading the blood of Jesus Christ over people, over situations, over people who need to be saved, and on. We need to claim the power of the blood of Jesus Christ because it brings healing in all sorts of situations in life. Well, He forgives us of sin through His blood. He gives us what we need. Galatians 5 wants us to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Where He's made us free. How? By the blood of Christ. So, this week, next year, whenever, when you know full well the enemy of your soul has attacked you, mind, spirit, body, what have you, you know it's happening, would you plead the blood of Christ over that situation? Would you take Him at His word about the power of the blood of Christ, that it'll set you free? You say, well, you know, when I get around to it, I'll try this, I'll try that, and then I guess I might as well pray about it. It's kind of like a last resort. Why don't you try the prayer first? Can I pray for you? Why don't we do that first? Why don't we plead the blood of Christ first? Colossians 1:13 says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son? Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. The blood of Christ. Popular subject? Not really. Some people don't want to hear about it, and that's okay, I guess. That's our choice. But if we take the blood of Christ away from what we call Christianity, we have nothing. The blood of Christ must be applied to our lives. So His blood is still sufficient. The blood He shed on Calvary's cross is sufficient, and it still saves people today, and it still sets a captive free. The power of the blood, not the self-help book, and they can be good, not what I think about positive thinking in this situation, it may be good, but to be delivered, to be saved, to be born again, it still takes the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. We've got to apply the blood. A family was involved in a serious accident. Mike, the younger of two brothers involved, was badly injured and needed a blood transfusion. Mike's big brother Danny, who was almost 8 years old, was the perfect blood type. His father sat down with him and explained that his little brother was going to die, but if Danny would give his little brother some blood, that Mike would be fine. Danny sat and thought for a minute, and he said, okay, Dad, I'll do this for my brother. They took Danny into the operating room and hooked up the needle to his arm, and the blood from his body began to flow in his little brother. Everything was going wonderfully. The nurse removed the needle from little Danny's arm, and Danny, with a tear in his eye, looked up at his dad and said, when do I die? And the father suddenly realized that the shock that Danny had misunderstood his explanation of giving blood. Danny thought he was giving all of his blood to save the life of his little brother. He thought that he would die after the transfusion was over, yet he still had agreed to help the little brother. You've heard that, read it in your emails probably before, but to think that the big brother thought now that I'm going to give him all my blood, my little brother. I'm going to help him, but then I'm going to die. Well, the parents didn't understand what the little guy was thinking. You say, well, what love that is. Yes, it is love. You say, what a sacrifice. Yes, it is. What a gift of life. Yes, it is, that that brother would give to his other. And I remind us as Christians today, lost people, you're in one category or the other. I remind you that the blood of Christ still has power today. It is the working power, the wonder-working power of the blood of the Lamb. So today you say, well, preacher, I've been saved for many years, and I know the blood of the Lamb's applied to me. I rejoice with you. I thank God for you. I'm glad that the blood of the Lamb is applied. But you know, after you get saved, there's decisions to be made. After you get saved, life can get tough. Just because you're saved don't mean you'll never have a problem or issues to deal with. So I ask you to think about this week, and as we lead up into Easter and the death and resurrection of our Lord, to think a little more about the blood of Christ. Maybe look up a few scriptures about the power of the blood of Christ. And now you say, well, all that sounds good. All that's well enough. But now, you know, over here in my life, here's this issue. Over here in my life is this issue. I know about the death of Jesus. I know about the resurrection. I know the Easter story. I know we sing songs about the power of the blood. But my issue is this. Okay? The blood of Christ is shed for that issue. The blood of Christ is shed for a problem that I may have, a temptation you may have, a sense of defeat in some area of your life. I submit to you, we can submit that to Christ, the one who cares for us. Bill was praying, and he was reminded of the scripture that we can cast all of our cares, anxieties on the Lord, because he what? He cares for us. And he not only cares, you know, I can sympathize with somebody. I can have empathy, and I can try to feel what that person may be feeling. But in my humanness, I have nothing I can do to help. But may I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Mark sang about, can we pray for each other as a body of Christ in the struggles, in the good times, the bad times, the whatever times? Can we pray for one another? And not only pray, but do what? Plead the blood of Jesus Christ over issues. You see, we've got to take a pill for that, and we've got to take a pill for that. And you know, the kids have this, and that kid has that, and the old folks have that, and the middle-aged people are stressed out. I know medication's good. I know counseling is good. I realize all that's good. But the church is forgetting the blood of Jesus Christ. We're forgetting the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that can bring healing and can bring help and can relieve hurts and can protect us from the very devil of hell. We're forgetting the precious blood of the Lamb that was shed for us to help us walk in victory, to help us see what God Himself would have us see. So leading up to Easter, will you think about the blood of Christ? Will you think about its power? Will you think about the love of God and how much He loves you? Now, I'm not making light of people who need medication. I take enough myself. I fill Mom and Dad's little pill boxes up. We have us a big time there. That, you know, they take a lot. Now, they'll get mad at me for saying that, you know. But I tell them, oh, all these older people take a lot of medicine. No, I don't. Now I've offended the whole bunch. Listen, I know I'm not making light of stuff like that, but we must not, as the church, as the redeemed people of the Lord God, forget the power and the blood of Jesus. It's there. And if we'll take Mark's advice, we've got the blood of Christ to lean on, the power, and we pray for one another. Can I pray for you as brothers and sisters do? We need a little bit more prayer, I believe, don't you? We need to pray more together. Yeah, we get them on the group text and all that, and it's a great thing. Praise the Lord for it. But sometimes I believe we just need to see one another eye to eye. We just need to lock arms together and just say, hey, we're going to pray together. I want to see you. I want to lay my hand on you. I want to see you. I want you to see me. And we're going to invite the presence of God, His Holy Spirit, and plead and claim the blood of Christ over these situations. Well, I hope you've got the point. I hope the Lord spoke to you that there's power in the blood. And you say, I knew that before I came in here. I know that. But here's my question to you. Now, what you've been struggling with, what you've been thinking about over here that's a temptation or what have you, will you plead the blood of Jesus Christ over it today? Would you stand with me? Our Father in heaven, how we thank you and we praise you for the time we have together. We thank you for these various scriptures that talk about the blood of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we have been redeemed, saved, transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, I'm so thankful that I didn't live when I had to bring a goat and a dove and a bull and on to try to get forgiveness of sin. But at the perfect time, the Bible says, that you sent your Son here to this earth, and that He is the perfect, sinless Lamb of God, and He died for my sin. And everybody's sin in this room, and everybody's sin in the world, and you don't want any to perish, but you want all to have eternal life. And today, we know many in this building have professed you as Savior and Lord. But if there be one that knows full well they need a Savior, they need to be forgiven of sin, I pray this will be the day they come to an altar or pray a prayer in the pew, but they'll pray that prayer. And I pray, Lord, if there's Christians here today and they're struggling in some issue of life, Lord, that we'll do just what Mark was singing about. We'd get somebody by the hand and we'll say, would you come pray with me? And Lord, we may do it all over the room or at the altar or what have you. But God, may they be a freedom today to pray, a freedom to claim the blood of Christ over different situations in our life. We'll give you praise and we ask you, Lord, to have your way as we sing in Jesus' name. Amen.